Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We're good to go. I've been told. We're here. Hello. It's Is It Just Me? The podcast where we talk about all sorts of utter rubbish. You know the drill by now because that's the most important stuff in life. Wouldn't you agree, James, co-host Williams?
No, I would not at all. Oh, how dare God. I'm offended. No.
Well, there you go. I mean, we do like to argue about utter nonsense
because
it stops us thinking about everything going to hell in a handcart.
Yes. Hello, Joe Elvin,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, hi, that's me, by the way. I'm Joe Elvin.
I forgot to introduce you.
We're joined by a very wise head today, although I think she begs to differ, but she is a sort of celebrated actress, already a superstar, deputy queen of the jungle, reigning deputy queen of the jungle. It's Emily. Do you know what I forgot to ask you, though? Is it Emily Attack or ATAC?
ATAC.
ATAC.
ATAC. It's a weird name. It's
See, I am a professional. I ask those questions live on air rather than
it's fine.
In
no,
the prep.
I'm thinking of changing it to ATAC because everybody just thinks it's ATAC.
But can I just say, how long has Christina Aguilera been famous? 20 years. And when people, I mean, I'm not even Christina Aguilera. Shock horror, everyone. I'm not Christina Aguilera.
Right, I'm not.
But when I hear people say Christina Aguilera, I literally see red because I'm like, how long has she been famous? Her name's Aguilera. It's like, I'm so bored
of her.
Are
you sure you're right?
No, I'm right. I know I'm right.
I say Aguilera.
No. Emily, we're falling out already.
I say Christina Aguilera.
Aguilera. It's a hard Aguilera. It's not Aguilera. She's not a mineral water.
I know a girl who says Ben Affleck instead of Ben Affleck. Like, well, it sounds like a cough medicine.
Yeah, she's weird.
Ben Affleck.
Well, yeah. She can go and sit with the Aguilera people.
Yeah.
They can fuck right off. Anyway, welcome, Emily.
Emily ATAC. I told you it's the important issues, Emily.
It really is.
It really is.
Yeah.
No, this is the important stuff to talk about. Come on, everyone's sick of talking about serious stuff.
As you're actually trying to grow your mental age and your personal development via your new and your ovaries via your new TV show on W Channel.
Yeah,
adulting.
About it.
Do you know, it's so funny talking about all these things because I can't actually believe they're all happening. It's really bizarre. I feel like I'm explaining someone else's life. I've got a new show, Adulting. Adulting.
Yeah.
Oh, potato, it's one of those.
Potato.
Yeah,
Aguilera, Aguilera.
Exactly. It's on W Channel and it's kind of like a reality meets documentary sort of series.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I've only seen one episode.
Well, I've seen an episode and I just want to say to you, I think it's actually, what I love about it is you're unfiltered, but it's not in that nasty, grubby way. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes,
right.
When you say reality TV, it's become a bit
you
don't want to call
a,
it that.
A bit of a taboo word, reality. Yes.
But I just find it really engaging, really relatable.
Oh,
and like I said, you share, but you don't overshare. And I know that overshare is a funny word because I think...
I do the oversharing off camera.
Yeah.
Definitely. That poor camera crew. Oh,
you
God.
Can do it on the podcast though because no one can see you.
I'm fine.
This is a safe space, Emily.
Safe space. Love it.
So, and you're learning to adult. I love that adults become... a verb.
Yeah.
But adulting is hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Long, long experience.
I just can't believe how hard it is. I feel like in life, you know, you're taught about puberty and how difficult that's going to be. You talk about menopause and how difficult that's going to be, but you're not taught where the fuse box is in your house.
And then it's like, okay.
About mortgages.
Yeah. Here's a box of tampons. off you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, basically. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never forget that instruction I got. I'm still trying to figure out the tampons, to be honest.
You're in the wrong place.
You are. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm a 40-something man who still rings his mum and dad to ask for the most mundane.
But this is what I'm figuring out. I'm figuring out that actually I don't think anybody ever feels truly like an adult.
Well, I am considerably older than you. And I hate to tell you.
You can't be that.
No, I am. I'm well, if you're about to turn 30, that's part of the thing. This is my last year of my 40s.
No
I
way.
Know, hard to
I know. I love that. I love that phone. No.
That's no.
Brilliant. Thanks for that, Emily. You're my favorite.
That's not me just being nice.
You
that's
can come
mental.
You can come again, Emily. That was very good.
But I can't believe that.
But the point is not to harpoon for that compliment.
As Richard E. Grant once accused us.
But the point
name drop.
I think in a lot of ways it actually gets harder. You just get more confused as you get older.
Also,
in a
but
lot
also,
of ways.
But no, do you know what I think it is as well? Is you actually have an internal dialogue with yourself because you guilt trip yourself for not knowing this shit.
Yes.
You've been fed this lie that there's such a thing as being a fully fresh, fleshed, grown-up adult.
And everything works in like an order.
No one ever gets to that point. No. We're all just basically trying to get on with stuff, but we need to sort of break that taboo because I think we all give ourselves a hard time for not being able to handle life, and life is hard and you need to lean on people, and there's nothing wrong with asking for help.
Exactly. And I think as well, it sounds a bit trite constantly going on about social media and, you know, the pressures of social media and Instagram and things, but now everybody is essentially in the spotlight now, you know, whether you're a celebrity or not, you're still, if you have social media, you're still on this platform to be put out there for criticism and to be compared to other people. People are comparing lives, comparing what they're doing, and people are going, oh, you know, Sarah 29 from Bedfordshire, she's married with two kids, why aren't I? And she's got the perfect house and the perfect dog on her Instagram, and we're all going, oh my god, why haven't I achieved that? And you feel like you're failing in some way. So I think it's the social media comparison thing as well, that everybody's feeling that pressure.
Yeah, and so absolutely. Basically, for people who haven't seen the show, essentially you kind of focus on specific, I can never say that word, specific areas or sort of challenges, right, each episode.
The sort of obvious things that we all go, oh God, you know, like being a mum, when am I going to do that? You know, body image. Oh God, what are the other ones? It's a good start.
I mean, are you done filming? Are you still filming?
Yes.
You're done.
I mean, they keep saying we're done, and then they turn up at my door and go, could we just film you wiping your ass?
Yeah. No. That's TV for you. Yeah. Then they always want more.
They always want, especially when it's this kind of thing, because they wanted the access, you know, they wanted that really close access.
And just basically don't let anything monumental happen to you, because they'll just come knocking again.
Oh my God.
Can we have a film of that, please?
I couldn't tell them. If I hadn't seen them for like a few days and something exciting had happened, I couldn't tell them about it, because they'd be like, why didn't we get it on camera?
Don't tell them. When you lose your virginity, just don't tell them about that.
I'm keeping that.
Save that for the next podcast you're on with us,
Oh, definitely.
But was there any moment where you thought, oh God, do I want to film this? Do I actually want to talk about this?
Yeah, well, I think it was the moment where my legs were in the air and I was having a fertility test and I was having things prodded up my hoo-ha and my ovaries were literally on a screen. I thought, right, I've gone too far.
And you're like, this is now my day job.
Yes, and I just thought, okay, how have I ended up here?
No, but I think that's such a helpful conversation. Yeah. I really think so.
I think so. And the more I sort of, you know, it's easy to think that when you've got your legs in the air and you're going, oh God. But actually, I was speaking to the doctor about it and she said, you know, like, you need a pat on the back for doing this, because everyone's too terrified to kind of have these fertility tests and things like that. And actually having them, they're really good to do, because then at least you have options if there is a problem, or, you know, it's just good to know what your body is saying. And I had no idea about anything. I've never had a sex education lesson in my life. I maybe had one at school, you know, a really tame one that the teachers.
But we all just laugh through those.
Exactly.
No one actually pays attention.
It's a weird video with a woman with a really hairy fanny. She gets it out. We all have to look at it.
It's the same video they've been playing to kids for about 30, 40
money.
Years.
All right. Yeah. I need it.
She was young.
Yeah.
She was a girl on the up.
Yeah. Lovely fanny.
Thank you.
That's even better than the age compliment.
That's the nicest
just keep them
thing
coming, Emily.
Anyone has ever said to me. It's also the biggest lie.
Oh, God. But no, it's one of those things you kind of go, the doctor said it's a very scary thing for people, and it shouldn't be. We should know about our bodies and all this stuff that she was showing me, and she was explaining to me how the eggs work, and I didn't know any of that. None of it.
It really was bizarre to me when I got pregnant. I was like, oh my God, that stuff works. It was such a weird moment. Yeah. Like, my God.
It is weird that when you think about it.
Sperm plus egg equals human.
Yes.
It is weird.
It's terrifying.
And I really felt quite proud of yourself and chuffed with yourself when you're pregnant. It's like, well done, bod. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But I just think that it's a weird age around 30 where you do have to start thinking about that stuff. Mm. But I remember being 30 and you don't feel... You don't feel like a grown up.
No.
And yet, that is that thing where, well, within 10 years, if I haven't done this, I'm not going to do it. And I think that's a really tricky thing for young women.
Yeah, it's that biological clock, isn't it? You know, we hear those words and your biological clock is ticking. And actually, what I learn with having these fertility tests and things, that's not just a saying for no reason. It's actually true.
Yeah. No. And it's a bit of a bummer.
It is a bit of a bummer. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's true. The older we get, the more our eggs scramble a little bit.
On a positive note, would you agree? Because I think maybe the age you're at actually has pretty much brought your career. And in a weird, you're having a renaissance, aren't you? In a weird, I think you probably wouldn't have said yes to some of the opportunities that have really, like, absolutely, probably going into the jungle. You probably wouldn't have done that maybe 4 or 5 years ago because I guess you were then just an actor, right? Yeah. And when I say just an actor, but you were very much focused on the acting. Whereas you went into the jungle, it's shown you, shown the public you as a person.
Yeah.
And I guess it's now opened up all these opportunities. And you've turned into one of those multi-hyphenate people now, Emily. You're a triple threat.
It's a dream. It's an absolute dream because what happened was I got frustrated with the industry and I got frustrated that I wasn't getting the jobs I should have been getting. And it's all down to, it sounds quite extreme to say, but I was getting older. I wasn't as slim as I used to be. I wasn't getting the roles that I used to be getting. I was very pigeonholed and typecast as the sexy girl next door type. In terms of casting, that's what I was known for. And when you're so pigeonholed like that, it's great at the time when everything's pointing upwards and, you know, you're slim and you can go out and drink wine every night because your metabolism's just going and going. And you think, oh God, I can eat that pizza because I'm slim. It's fine. But, you know, the reality is I got older and I'm not saying I got hideous. I'm just saying...
By the way.
Thank you. But the reality is it's a very difficult industry to keep... You've got to keep your head afloat in it. And I felt like I was drowning in it because I wasn't what I used to be. I was looking more and more like a normal girl rather than a very thin, you know, sort of pin-up-y type.
And then can I just say as well, with no disparaging of any of your previous co-stars, but it's not quite the same for boys, is it?
No. It's not. No one gives a shit what boys
wear. Kind of look like however the hell you want to look, and that's fine.
Definitely. And they can play the sort of old rough and rugged bit later. But as a woman... If you're, especially because I started so early, I started The Inbetweeners when I was 17, and to play a very sexy role at a very young age like that, it was great at the time, but it immediately pigeonholes you and you're immediately put in that bracket, and it's very hard to come out of that unless you stay looking like that for the rest of your life. Yeah. And I got frustrated. I was going up for great roles. You know, I've got a great agency and I was going up for all these great roles, getting good feedback as always. And I've built up a really good rapport with casting directors and they were always very complimentary, very nice. But I wasn't getting the jobs that I used to get. So I tried to do the whole thing of going, right, I'll dye my hair brown then and, you know, put me up for more kind of DCI detective stuff. I just got so lost in it all. And I was doing auditions for that. And then I felt that wasn't really me. And then I was going, right, okay, what do I do? I either carry on just doing this and hope that something will land and it will just be, you know, a bit of a miracle sort of, oh, brilliant. Like, and everybody sort of kept saying, it'll come. This one job will just get you back into it again. And I got a great job in a Disney film playing a PE teacher with my dark hair. So I thought, oh, it's working. But then what I learned as well doing those films, those little indie kind of British films, you do them and then they don't take you anywhere really. It's kind of like you do them, it's good for the CV and then that's it. And I started thinking about the jungle. I've been asked to do the jungle a few times, but I just wasn't in the right headspace for it at all. You have to have such a particular kind of mindset. And I just thought, do you know what? I went through a really difficult start to the year with a breakup and things. I was feeling really, my mental health was all over the place. And I just thought, do you know what, if I start saying yes to things like this and just see what happens. And if I do it my own way, you know, I don't have to do it by the book afterwards. I can do the jungle, show people who I am, and then it might be nice to start getting some telework in that pays the bills and da 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 da. And I accepted the fact that doing something like the jungle might close certain acting doors or whatever. But I was so fed up that I just thought, well,
what have you got to lose?
Yeah, and exactly. And I needed to put a roof over my head, yeah. And I needed to buy toilet roll, you know. And that's where I got to. So
I love that. I love that whole rationale. I think that's actually going to be really inspiring for a lot of people, because everybody has those plateau moments where you just think, well, what now?
The jungle was such a perfect opportunity, not just for the career bits, but also for me. I was soul searching. I got so lost in my life and so lost in everything. I wanted to find out who I was again.
And you made some great friends as well, didn't you?
Some amazing friends. Well, I was plonked out the world, had my phone taken off me. I was out, you know, no social media to drive me mad. Like, I needed that rehabilitation.
But again, the snakes, Emily.
Oh,
that's a hard out for me. Exactly. I cannot do it.
But also,
but it's one of those things, you do it and you go, oh my God, I can do anything now.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like an analogy for your life.
But you know, and I think it was also a great opportunity for you, for as much as you'd been typecast by casting directors, you know, you'd also been perceived by the public. And I think it was a great way for everyone to see you now as a fully rounded person.
Yeah.
They fell in love with you. You came second to Harry Redknapp, which basically means you won. Really?
I mean, if I was going to lose to anyone, very happy to lose to Harry Redknapp.
And basically anyone that loved Emily in the jungle is going to love your show, Adulting. So it starts on the W Channel.
Yes.
Very
w
soon.
Channel, very soon. 26th of June.
26th of June.
Write that in your calendar.
Get it in the title. It's really, it's a really good fun show, Emily. Good luck with it all.
Thank you so much.
Now we need to move on to some topics. Are we ready to discuss some serious shit? Yes.
Serious shit.
Let's do it. Okay, first up this week, Emily Atack.
It's really fun, by the way. Oh, having a great time.
Yeah, you say that now.
Yeah, we've got three topics
up
to go. Yeah, it gets bumpy from here on in. Is it just me, Emily Jo? Is it just me that has no paternal instincts? Now, this is kind of a bit, your show, actually. I watched the first episode. It got me talking, because it's very much all about, you know, are you ready for motherhood? When's the right time to have kids? And because from my point of view, you know, I really like kids. I don't want everyone to think I'm some sort of Cruella de Vil, like, you know, I eat babies, I hate them. I don't. I really like children. But I've never had that real longing desire to have one of my own. Like, you know, the closest I've got is, everyone knows who listens regularly, I've got my dog, and I'm very happy with my dog. And I guess it has awoken a slight kind of paternal instinct in me. But at the same time, I know he's a dog. Like, I love him dearly, but he's not my child.
Yeah. You know, he is.
No, he's not. It really creeps me out when people refer to their animals as their daughter or
son. I'd laugh so much if the dog just ran in now with a full suit on and like a latte on the go.
See, it really creeps me out.
And I love upsetting my daughter by referring to the dog as her sister.
Don't say that. But I like that you don't refer to them as your child, because that also annoys me.
It creeps me out.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be very anti-dogs in clothes. Like, that really makes me really tense as well. I kind of now make a compromise where I can appreciate they do get cold or wet, so they need a little coat or a jumper. Yeah. But people that dress their dogs up for Halloween and shit, I mean, come on, no.
Oh,
I don't want to see my dog in a cheerleader outfit. But going back to being a bit serious, I do feel like there is this pressure, and especially now on not just men, but I mean, even as a gay man, like, you know, the whole point originally was, oh, you know, the joke is that, you know, that's the one perk, you never have to worry about having kids. But, you know, now I feel like so many of my gay friends are all having children, you know, and now I feel like it's gone. There's definitely been a change in my lifetime between people now almost look at me when I say, oh, yeah, I don't want to have children. They almost look at me like I'm a weirdo. Mm. And when I see my heterosexual female friends who genuinely have chosen to not have children, the suspicion with which they're met when they say, and people always assume, oh, did it not happen for you? And they're like, no, I chose to not have them.
Yeah.
And I really do feel quite passionate about this kind of thing we've been sold for a very, very long time, that, you know, male, female, regardless,
you must produce.
It's your sole purpose of being here. And I just think people who choose to not have kids should be applauded, because this planet's under a hell of a strain as it is.
Yeah.
And also, it's not the be-all and end-all. Mm. But anyway, got to go on very serious and got on my very high horse.
It's true. I think especially, and that's interesting actually to hear from a man's point of view, the pressure you feel as well, because we always talk about the pressure that women feel. But yeah, as you say, you know, it's very normal now for a gay couple to have children. So now you're feeling that pressure. And I find that really interesting. I think, I mean, for me personally, I've always had a maternal instinct. I've had dollies my whole life. Well, this, I think that has got a lot to answer it. You know, we're given prams and dollies when we're, children, you know. I think that kind of is where it begins. And I think that as we grow up, and if you get to an age where you think, okay, when am I going to start feeling like I want kids because I don't yet? You're made to feel abnormal, and that's not nice. That's not right. I actually interviewed a woman in adulting, and she chose to be sterilized when she was 28.
Wow.
29, which is a huge decision to make, and she was so set on it, and it was a really interesting interview actually. I kind of tried to sort of go into the depths of her relationships with her family and things like that, and she did have quite a problematic kind of upbringing. But yeah, she said that her whole life she's just been made to feel that she isn't normal because she's just been so, so certain, and she's still certain. She loves animals. She's got her animals. Mm. And the weird thing is she's a very motherly person when you meet her in real life. And my heart broke for her a little bit because I thought maybe if things were different for you growing up, maybe you would have wanted that and you would have been a really good mum. But, you know, that's just my kind of thing. But it was interesting to hear from her side how alienated she's always felt because she doesn't want to have kids. And that's sad.
I think it's when people get stuck in this idea of they cannot comprehend people want a life that's different to the life that they want.
Yeah.
And I see that all the time. People just don't understand it. And I think there's a lot of what's taken as offence is just, you know, not understanding that person
so
cannot conceive of another worldview, and they're not being malicious. But then I've kind of had the slightly other thing where I had my one and only child when I was 35, probably just slipped in just before it all was not possible. But I remember when I was telling people I was pregnant, there was such shock and awe because I was the career girl. You know, even my parents were like, oh, we just assumed that you... They would never have badgered me to have a grandchild, but they were like, we just assumed you didn't want that. And it's so funny that
you can't win, can you?
No.
But that, can't bloody win.
No. But because my career was going well, ergo, I must hate children, have no maternal instincts. Do you know what I mean? It's so strange. Everybody's got an opinion on your
That's thing. The other thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's this work ethic thing of now, you know, we're meant to be business and career savvy now as women as well.
Either or.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're either a stay-at-home mum or the business career. It's difficult. It's difficult.
I mean, I also think as well, it's like my thing is, you know, people say to me, oh, you know, I often think, is it an ego thing? Because I hate to say this about, I find it, especially with men really have been, I think, sold this idea that they've got to continue the line, continue the family name. And I think there's this weird thing built in men where they want to see a mini me version of themselves.
Are you interested?
And I really think a lot of men have children because it's the done thing and it's a sign of masculinity and it's just what they do. I don't believe the majority of them do it because of a genuine need to be a parent. I'm sorry, I really don't.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
I think a lot of people do.
James and I are going to fall out.
I think a lot of parenting is actually ego. They want their own child. Because if you're that desperate a parent, adopt a baby. There are plenty. Or adopt a teenager.
That's really interesting.
I'm sorry. I think there is a link there.
I think you're really discounting a whole kind of like primal urge there. I think
maybe, but I just think
Well, that's the thing. That's what I keep going back to, primal. Like, I spoke about this a lot in the show when we're thinking about men and women, and we go way back to caveman years. What, you know, we can't really fight what we're rooted with, and I think that's why sometimes people with women, for example, and I'm just talking broadly, women find it strange that other women don't want to have children because it's built in us that that's what we do.
But you can't seriously think that there are tons of men walking around out there who just, you know, are doing it for only to see a version of themselves. Just as many men are capable of loving.
I'm saying there is a small percentage of people, I think, and that's why, you know, I find it really weird. Like, if you want to be a parent, Why do you feel so strongly about wanting a son versus wanting a daughter? You know, I find those the men.
No, I don't know about that. Yeah.
Those
are
the men I find a bit like, it's really about...
Because they want someone to go to the football with.
I was just about to say that. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, they do.
Although my husband was praying for a girl because he said I wouldn't know what to do with a boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, my dad is nearly 60. Is he? Oh, no, he's just turned 60. And he's got a four-year-old. And he said that was a fascinating time for him because, you know, he's done it three times with me, Martha and George at a very normal age. And to do it again, he was like, I'm so glad she was a girl. If she was a boy, he was like, my whole life, oh God, I was ready to play golf for the rest of my life. Now I've got to get the fucking paddling pool out.
Well, you've only got yourself to blame.
I know. Yeah. But, no, yeah, he was glad it was a girl.
You just need to settle down, Mick Jagger.
Yeah. So naughty.
But, you know, it's one of those things. I think you hit the nail on the head, Joe. I think it's one of those things. It's a big subject. And I think you do what's right for you. And I think don't judge other people. For as much as I've sat in judgment massively on loads of people, I guess we all need to just accept. Do you do what you want? And whatever's right for you. Yeah. And it's not a one size fits all, is it?
Definitely,
for everyone.
Especially when it comes to children and families.
Amen. Sure. To that.
What'll be, will be.
Totally.
Emily Atack, James Williams, is it just me who would rather chew my own face off than sit through a conference call? We're all agreed. Move on.
Yeah, we're pretty much done on that one, I think.
I can't be dealing
with it.
Isn't
it awful?
I can't concentrate on one person on the phone, let alone five in a room.
And you don't know who the hell's talking.
No.
And then it takes... Nobody has ever seamlessly... patched into a conference call.
No.
That's one thing.
No. Or I'll forget Skype as well when they start bringing that all in. Oh.
And then someone just freezes and pixelates and yeah, I know.
Just get in a room. Oh. Just try and get everyone in a room. Yeah, I mean, I was on one of the worst conference calls ever, but to the point whereby I was the person calling in and I couldn't hear a word anyone was saying apart from every other word. And it's that thing when you're in a nightclub and someone's talking at you and you ask them twice and at the end you just go, and they could have just said, I'm going to stab you in the neck. And you just go, yeah.
I was
just winging the whole thing.
It's
so just thought,
awkward, isn't it?
I'm going to tell a really gossipy story now.
Go on.
I was once on a conference call years ago with Karen Brady.
Oh.
Oh man, that was, I mean, she wasn't even in the room and I was so terrified. It was,
really?
She was, we were judging, some people. It was a very worthy thing. It was people who were going to get a grant to do a social sort of business project that would help women. So it was a fantastic thing to be involved in. And it was like, you know, had people who were bringing in special sinks for cancer patients so they could wash their hair when in hospital. It was like really strange stuff like that, but good stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd made my decisions and all these people had made their decisions. And Karen just like basically disagreed with all of our decisions at every point. And it was just sort of interminably long, but she was like really, really good at the protracted silences. Mm. So I would say, well, I think, actually I disagree because blah, 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 and this and this, and there'd be just a really like 10 second pause, whatever, and then she'd go,
oh God,
we'll just do that then.
Did you get a really like hot ass?
I know, exactly. And I just thought, maybe if I could see you, I wouldn't be feeling quite as awful about it.
Yeah.
But it was like, yeah, it's just that lack of visual contact.
God, it's awful. And yeah. I spend my life putting it on loudspeaker and just getting on with tasks.
Yeah.
And people are like, what do you think about that, Emily? I'm like, yep, sounds good.
I do love that there was one, talking of this, of the Skype call, my friend who's quite a high-powered businessman was on a Skype call and his boyfriend totally forgot and just walked past, start bullet naked in the background.
Oh, see, I wish that had happened on my conference call.
That would wake you all up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, at least there's an element of the visual makes it slightly more, who knows? But it's just, you would think though by now, I mean, talk about the adulting things we should have nailed by this point in life. You would have thought by now we could have a good quality conference call.
Yeah.
Why is the technology not there? Why is it not in place?
I just can't bear it. If the second I hear the two words conference call.
A part of you dies,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, but even an analog conference call, i.e. a real life meeting. They can drop dead as well. Oh. I hate meetings.
Awful. Yeah. And also pointless
so
meetings.
Meetings about meetings.
Oh my God. It's just for no reason at all. Sometimes I go to meetings. I literally sit there going, I can't believe we've had to work this in the diary and we're just having a vibe. Do you know what I mean? People just want to have a vibe.
It's those invitation invites. But I think the second they introduced those sort of email invitation, those
very passive aggressive.
That's when it started getting out of control, where people now just start doing like an invitation to an invitation meeting. You're like, what? Just come and talk to me at my desk or just call me up.
Yeah. And there's like, do we, you know, should we get some cocktails? Well, yeah, but, you know, I've got to be.
Oh, man. What meetings are you going to?
I know.
I've never had a cocktail in a meeting.
Some of them end up being pointless, fun ones when the alcohol's involved.
I'm only doing meetings with Emily Atack from now on.
Well, it's my cocktails. It's my rule. If there's booze, I'll go. If not, forget it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why there's a big jug of margaritas here, right? At 10 o'clock in the morning. But
excellent rules.
Yeah, I remember once having a four-hour meeting and in part of the meeting, this is years ago in another job, we were deciding on a mission statement for the company and we spent a good hour debating whether we should use the word the or a. And I sort of like had an out-of-body experience where I was looking down at these people thinking, this is my life now, and you can't. This is 2 hours I can't.
Did
get
you
back.
Lose the will to live or a will to live?
I lost. I don't know. I really can't
you
answer
lost
that question
minutes,
anymore.
She went
minutes.
To the pub and had the wine.
The wine.
I think I had an inner scream. You ever sat in a meeting and in your head you're just going, "Shut up! Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!" I do that a lot. Yeah.
Basically, meetings are boring.
Meetings are.
That's why they should. Well, there's that theory that you should always have no seats. If you had no seats in a meeting, if you had people standing up in a meeting, they get tired. They want to wrap it up
quicker.
But again, with the adulting thing, I think people hold meetings just to feel like grown-ups.
Yes.
Don't they?
I think so.
They go, we'll have a meeting. Yeah.
Rather than it just being a chat, they have to formalize it and give it an adult name like meeting.
If you sit there and go, I've got a meeting after, that's so grown-up. That's like, oh. Okay, you won't hear a 9-year-old go, "Yeah, I've just got a meeting."
Some of my friends think it's hilarious.
It's called maths.
Some of my friends swear they'd never heard the term breakfast meeting until they met me. They're going, "What? A breakfast meeting? What? You go to have breakfast and pretend that's a meeting?" I'm going, "It is. What are you talking about?
Meeting."
Some people just
do not try to get a lunch meeting in my diary. Early, I will punch you.
An early meeting. Oh God.
Yeah, but at least you get fed, Emily.
9:30.
Yeah,
but you get food. It's better than a crackly conference call.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
We've blown her mind.
There's bacon.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
She's in. She's back in.
All right, fine.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, conference calls can suck it. And
mimosas?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We're in.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Guys, is it me who just decorates when I'm bored?
Well,
not just decorating, I move things around and pretend that I'm tidying up.
In
when
your
really
own house,
I'm
or not
moving.
In other people's houses.
Oh, actually, I kind of do it in other people's houses as well. It's just to show, it's instead of tidying up. So there's a pile of washing there. I go, right, what do I do with that? Okay, I'm just going to plonk it on top of something else. And then it's done. So it's not really decorating.
To mix up the aesthetic of the pile of laundry.
So then it's not in that corner, it's in another corner.
Your contribution to the great Japanese art of feng shui.
Completely. I literally, that's another thing. You're having a bit of a breakdown. Right, I'll just move my bed.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm going to move my bedroom around.
A lot of effort.
I do think decorating is a weird thing because no matter how much you like your house and no matter how settled you feel in it, inevitably, I think for me, it's about a month before I then go, I'll find something else. Go, oh, that needs doing. Yes. Or, do you know what? I've never quite liked that doorknob. Yes. Or, isn't it? It's weird.
Totally. I have never seen a house get more sorted out than yours. And in lightning flash time than when you moved in.
I know, but still, you're never fully done.
No,
I think
never.
I think that's another thing.
That's so true.
They don't tell you about adulting.
Yes.
You will never be fully...
Never.
Got some new shutters yesterday.
Did you?
How frigging grown up is that?
Oh, that is. That's adulting for
See,
you.
See, that's pleasing.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
But you've just moved into a relatively new place. Are you doing lots of work?
Oh, my God. It's funny that we're talking
your
about
bed,
this.
I have to say, your bed makes me very tense.
God, the
opening episode.
Still got that bed?
No, it's
thank
gone.
God.
Well, honestly, when that bed turned
that
up,
that looked like something out of Friends.
For people who haven't seen it yet, in the first episode, you see that Emily's bed is far too big for her.
So
room.
I didn't measure up because who does that?
Adults, clearly.
Like
parents do things like that.
And I'd ordered it, and everyone was like, "Have you measured?"
Emily,
I'm like, "No."
Emily, adults use masking tape on the floor so you get a real sense of dimensions. That's real adulting for you.
Well, I've learned my lesson there because this huge bed arrived. And what happened was, this is very naughty. It was 7:30 in the morning and the bed arrived. I hadn't been asleep for very long. I was so hungover. I'd been out with my friends, really
Standard.
Hungover.
Yep.
Yeah, and I was like, oh no, oh God, I forgot it was being delivered. It's 7:30 in the morning. And then so
indecent.
I said, right, I'm going to go in the spare. I just said to them, I was really straight. I said, I'm really hungover. I'm going to go into the spare room so you can just crack on and set the bed up. It's all been paid for, da, da, da. And just let me know when you're done. They were like, yep, fine. I was in the spare room like dribbling. And they just popped their heads in the spare room and went, right, we're done. I went, cool, see you later. Slept for another 2 hours, whatever.
I mean, they could have had your stereo on.
I know. So trusting. Ridiculous. And then I went into my bedroom and I went, oh, no. And there's this huge bed. You'll see it in episode one. Massive bed taking up all the room in my bedroom.
I mean, it literally became a bedroom.
Yes.
There's literally only a bed.
I couldn't walk
room.
In it. I had to, if I wanted to walk anywhere in my bedroom, I had to walk over the bed. It's ridiculous. So I learnt my lesson there.
So you've now got a bed that fits.
I know, still just a mattress on the floor.
Oh,
I know.
Emily. I love this.
Because
it's a futon.
It takes weeks to come.
Yeah, that is the problem with furniture. Another thing they don't tell you about being an adult, how long it takes for furniture to arrive.
Yes, I still haven't got a sofa.
But this is the one area where my husband is absolutely correct in my sort of like adulting fail. If I didn't have him in my life, I would be sitting in a room somewhere
on a futon,
on a mattress on the floor with my starter student pine furniture, a couple of probably Smith's posters on the wall.
Yeah.
I would have absolutely just stagnated at 19 years old.
Well, this is kind of what I'm doing. I'm still in this mindset of, I still feel like a 17-year-old. So,
and you still look like one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I got no makeup on, so I look 9 today. I'm finding as well, like, if you don't clean and tidy your house every single day, it will get so dirty so quickly. It's a nightmare.
True.
Do you know what I've done? This is really indulgent and really naughty. I wouldn't have done this before. But I've hired, she's coming tomorrow, I've hired somebody to come and do everything. And I'm talking laundry, cleaning, ironing, everything. I just couldn't handle it anymore. The stacks were getting higher. I couldn't, the bathroom was getting messier.
Like a life organizer.
Yeah. She's coming in tomorrow and I can't wait.
My dream is a butler. How much do you think they cost?
Do you know what? My one was hardly anything. My
butler.
Lady that's
How
coming
much
tomorrow.
Is this TV show
I thought,
playing
I know, a butler.
Yeah. I'm going on the jungle if they ask.
Yeah.
So if you can get a butler at the end of it.
When you're so busy and you're a moron like me, I need the help. I do. And, you know, I'm on my own. I live on my own there. I've got a lovely boyfriend now, so that's very nice. But, you know, realistically, he's a normal person that
Deputy
has a job.
Deputy butler.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
a butler in the bath.
Butler. Yeah. He's my evening butler.
He's a sexy special butler.
He only wears a thong, that's it. But I've got this woman coming tomorrow and I'm so excited.
I would be. I'm excited for you.
Are you more excited to see her when you get home than your boyfriend?
Yes.
You are. Yeah, I would
massively.
Be.
Massively. And that shows age as well, doesn't it?
It really does. But I was going to say, as a vice goes, when you're terribly bored, you decorate. I think that's a pretty harmless one to have.
Yeah, I think it's really
Not
therapeutic.
Cheap. Not cheap.
No.
Sex, drugs and rock and roll are probably a lot more expensive, actually. actually, because home decor costs.
Yeah.
What do I do? I felt much better
once before when I was feeling really down and I like painted a wall in my room and I painted my stairs
in a lunch break once and it was really, it was like one of the
set up. Nice.
And that's why I kind of, again, it's one of the things you never would have done that in your
And you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to do it when you're a kid. So it's one of those things you go, well, I can do this now because I'm a grown up and you can't tell me what to do. Yeah.
Yep.
It's one of those things.
And that's what all grown-ups do.
Yeah.
I can do it.
I can come in whenever I want. I still feel that like that now.
And on that kid, on that note.
Are you like Will Ferrell enough if you could just have sort of like a bag of Haribo for breakfast tonight?
Yes. I do this and I stay out till 5 a.m. because I can.
Yeah.
I don't want to stay out till 5 a.m. I do it because I can.
She's a grown-up lady.
She is. So you've been blessed to spend half an hour in the company of two great adults who've really got their shit together, haven't you, Joe?
You're perfect.
What, those two people over there, not us.
Yeah. You're perfect version of adults.
No, never grow up. Growing up is boring.
Yeah.
Let's all stay adolescent teenagers.
I'll do it later.
Yeah, exactly. Bore off.
At least now we have the freedom to just be kids running around being naughty and not being told off.
Exactly.
Well, I get told.
And on that note, before we're told off by your PRs, because we have run out of time, because Emily's got a very busy day because she's got lots of things to do. Emily, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. This has been great.
Yeah, do check out Emily's new show, Adulting, on the W Channel on the 26th of June.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Emily.
You're
welcome back anytime.
I knew you'd
be a natural at this. We loved having you. Good luck with everything. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you very soon.
Let's go to the pub. Bye.
Hold up, what was that? Boring, no flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Kiki Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh, jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh, let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered